This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart in. Call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here, John Senecal here, episode 203. On the docket for today, we'll get an update on our teams with a focus on the swooning Yankees. We'll talk about the All-Star game and the lineups. We'll talk about Clayton Kershaw 3000 heading into the holiday weekend. John, are you okay? Are you okay?
Am I okay? I'm still wearing a Yankees hat, Brian. If you noticed, oh my gosh! I guess I'm okay. There's been a lot of texts with fellow Yankee fans and with our text thread that says I can't watch this. You know what anymore? This is unreal. These bozos. Oh my god! It's like I'm surviving, I guess is what you can say. This has been unbelievable. But again, like my son said last night, as we were watching them fall apart again on Wednesday night against the Blue Jays, he's like, they do this every year. He's like, what is going on? They do this every single season.
Right. So, okay. So as of Thursday, they're in a total tie for first place with the Toronto Blue Jays. I gave them the kiss of death. You go back to like episode 200 or 199. I think I said they were so comfortably in the lead, it's hard to see them falling out of it. And you said, not so fast. You never know. And here we are a couple weeks later, and they're on the verge. Honestly, they're two losses away from being in third place because Tampa's not far behind them. And so your son brought up a point because the years blend together when you get old. I remember this one year they started horrible, and then they came back. There was one year they started great and had one of these swoons and came back. And I guess what's different, if anything, from the previous swoons?
Well, I mean, obviously one swoon was around Aaron Judge getting hurt in Dodger Stadium, and the team fell apart after that, which they tried to hang on. But, you know, a lot of it is just not timely hitting, just bad defense, bad base running.
No, but I know, but how does it compare?
How does it compare?
Relative to when they've sucked in the past and had these things, you know, there were times in the last 2 years, despite we want to Boone fired. I mean, like, where are we here?
Well, I think the good thing they have going for them right now is everybody's relatively healthy still. But that being said, I don't want to see what's happened in the past, and especially last season, where Boone just sits here for a month saying, oh, it's right there in front of him. It's right there in front of him. You can grab it. You can get it. Because there's not time for that. We're coming up on the All-Star break. We're coming up on the trading deadline. I mean, I know July is just starting out, but if you're looking at a team that had, like you said, an 8.5, 9-game lead, 3 weeks ago and all of a sudden is fighting that could be in third place, you need to wake up and you need to smell the coffee and you need to do something like fast or have a plan in action. And it doesn't seem like the Yankees are doing any of that because they just keep getting worse. So to compare it from the past, I think it's difficult because they're all a little bit different in the same ways because injuries play a part and like Judge obviously plays a huge part. But, you know, Judge did a little bit of slumping towards the end of the season last year, and he started off the season last year not good. But he has been pretty consistent straight through this whole thing, except for maybe like a one-week stretch. So it's definitely not Aaron Judge. It's the role players that aren't doing it. There's not no consistency from the bullpen. It's just there's no consistency there.
Well, the closer situation.
I mean, think about it. And when you talk about Wednesday night's game, they were losing 7-0 in the first inning, and then they came back and only let up one run over the next seven innings. And they came back, and then they still squandered a game where Aaron Judge put them on their back and put them ahead. So, you know, there's no – talk about the bad execution in extra innings. You can't – and not holding the lead. So it's just – it's an all-around disaster other than Aaron Judge.
Wait, now Weaver's not back yet, correct? So they have
Weaver is back. Weaver is definitely back. But you know, they ran into trouble with Devin Williams in the eighth inning. It's just when you got pitchers like Devin Williams and like Fernando Cruz, who's on the IL right now, that have these devastating pitches that there's no margin for error. You have to throw them perfect. And if you're not going to throw them perfect, they're going to get spiked in the dirt. And if you're going to spike them in the dirt, you need a good catcher to block it. And if that's not a backup catcher. So the Yankees have so many issues right now. It's not even funny going like, you know, the catching is a disaster. The third base is a disaster. The second base is a disaster. They, you know, you hope when you got Giancarlo Stanton back that he would be fine, but he's just, you know, he's okay, but he's not producing Giancarlo numbers that he should be doing. You know, I guess when you say Giancarlo, you hope he just stays healthy and he'll eventually pick it up, which I think he will, but it's, you know, it's a tough watch, man. It's a real tough watch. Anthony Volpe is just a mess. You know, it's, you know, I hate to dominate the whole conversation about the Yankees, but you know,
they
have so many holes right now. It's amazing that they were where they were. Really is.
The only thing I'll say is, you know, the Red Sox, there's not much to tell. I mean, they win a couple of games, they get you hopeful, and then they lose a couple of games, and then you lose hope. And it's just been this cycle. I'm not going to get into it. But I will say that the thing about Volpe, and I'm not saying, you know, what kind of player is he going to be? Is he going to be an everyday player? Is he going to be an all-star? Who knows? But there's the point where, you know, whether it's Jaron Duran or, you know, we'll see what happens with Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony. At some point, you are who you are. And so I wonder when we're going to be able to say this is who Anthony Volpe is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, is it? Have you had enough sample size to say, okay, well, he's not going to be a perennial all-star, and who knows if he'll be the shortstop in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, so he's 24 years old right now, and he's got 1,400 at-bats, and he's got a career average of .227, and what he's doing is basically doing that over every season. You know, his second season in the league, he did okay. He was up around .240, which everyone saw as a great stride coming off your rookie year, thinking, oh, he hit .240. Now he's going to next season, which would be this season, he's going to be up in the .270s. Not the case. Back down in the .220s, playing bad defense. So, you know, there's – I'm gonna say there's something else going on. I know he dove for a ball like about a month ago and hurt his shoulder, and there was an issue there. He stayed in the game, but you know, a lot of these guys, they probably could have lingering issues. But that being said, 1,400 at bats is a great sample size. So like, maybe that's what you're getting from Anthony Volpe, and he's one of these guys that, you know, you get your 6 years out of him, like you did with Glaber, and you think, you know, he's not doing what he's doing. Yeah. What you think, and you cut him loose. You know, time will tell, but he's not producing what he should be doing and what the Yankees need out of a shortstop, obviously.
I'm always fascinated by this because it's like who the ones that transition from being the hottest prospect to an everyday above average major leaguer. And it, you know, obviously it's not, you don't bet 1,000 on these things, but you get to see the hype that these guys have. And the Martians, the same thing. And we'll see about the guys on the Sox. I mean, we'll see how they pan out. I mean, I find it fascinating to see who fails and who succeeds. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And we'll say a quick item about the All-Star game and how it's chosen. But I also thought it'd be good for people who listen to give sort of your favorite All-Star game story, personalize it a little bit. Obviously, fans have been choosing this forever, stuff in the ballot box forever. I wish we could go back to the punch hole cards of our youth because the internet, I think, kind of ruins it. But
when you had to go to the stadium and do it.
Yeah.
Or a minor league stadium, and you just had to keep going up and punching them and putting them in.
And now it's like the teams market it a certain way, and I don't know. I personally, the older I get, I think baseball All-Star games, and this will go into my story in a minute, when there wasn't interleague play, the All-Star game was a really special game. And since interleague play has been, and free agency obviously too, the game itself doesn't mean anything to me, actually. I mean, I'll watch the Home Run Derby. I don't know what else they do, but I mean, listen, no major pro sport has a good All-Star game right now. Basketball's awful. Hockey
is... You don't like flag football?
Hockey is okay, but nobody wants to get hurt like football. And baseball, maybe the best house in a bad neighborhood, but I still... It's the Derby is more dynamic than the game now.
So yeah, the Derby's obviously the big draw, and it's a huge marketing thing. Obviously, the whole All-Star week, or you know, they have the Futures game, which is pretty cool. But I had said it in the past, I'd like to see it expand and do more. Maybe like find a skills competition thing, throwing from the outfield, try to hit balls at targets, that kind of stuff.
Just to
expand the reach, and you know, you get catchers involved, you know, throwing down to second targets, picking off targets, that kind of thing. Let's see what these players can really do when the pressure and everything's right on them. Like, I know it might not be real play, but let's see, you know, exactly what kind of skills they got. That would be really interesting to see something like that. But like, as you talk about the All-Star game and stuffing the ballot box, I think that's hilarious because, you know, it's what they're doing now. We're just doing it digitally, right?
Right.
These teams are, they're ganging up, like Toronto and Detroit kind of did their Motor City campaign where they would hashtag Motor City and capitalize TRO in Toronto and kind of cross promote their stars. But, you know, granted, the Tigers are a great team, and you know what the Blue Jays are doing in the American League East right now. So it's interesting to see players like Javi Baez and Gleyber Torres, former Yankee, making the team because, yes, there are good players, but they're not exceptional players, right? They're not superstars. They're batting, you know, like 280, 270 with 8 home runs. So there's always a little bit of ambiguity, I guess, when it comes to All-Star voting. I like to see a better formula. Like, I like the fan voting, but I think that should be just the overall, like the Judge and the Ohtani, and then the rest goes into some formula or based on stats and gameplay and that kind of stuff.
And you're okay with the managers filling out the roster and all that crap?
I think so. As long as, you know, because you're going to see guys, you know, that will skip the game or got lagging injuries, and then you'll see a player get in there who should be in there. And I got no problem with that. But you know, for the most part, I feel like they did pretty good. You know, it's interesting to see like a Jacob Wilson, the rookie from the A's, that made it over Bobby Witt Jr. I think everybody thought Bobby Witt Jr. was the clear choice. But I feel like, you know, Jacob Wilson has become a very household name for a pretty crappy team. And again, a lot of probably, social media promotion for him. But, you know, he's a former major leaguer former major leaguer's son getting a lot of buzz. And then you look at, you know, Gleyber.
I mean, it wasn't hard, but Cal Raleigh in the American League, I mean, obviously not a household name, but clearly is an All-Star, right?
So yeah, I think the only question on there is probably Javi Baez and, you know, Gleyber Torres, like I said, both having good years, but
maybe
not necessarily.
I hate to say this. Let's move on. Nobody gives a crap. Okay. Dom Rivers, one of our most loyal listeners, will get to this point in the podcast, and maybe he'll disagree. But I want to go back. I want to get personal. I have my favorite All-Star story, and I'll give you a second if you haven't thought of yours. I had to look up the year specifically. I thought it was 84, but it's 83. I went to a summer camp. I was away for 8 weeks. Saw my parents once in 2 months.
One time at band camp.
So we ate in a mess hall, crappy food. In you know, every now and then we'd go off camp for like some sort of field trip. But the All-Star game, everyone got a small cheese pizza and they put it on the projector up on the baseball field. And we ate, you know, pizza and watched the game. And again, this is pre-interleague play. And Fred Lynn obviously had left the Red Sox and he made the All-Star team as a member of the California Angels. And back then, you probably don't remember because you're younger, but the National League had won like every single year. Turns out they had won like 11 or 12 in a row. And Fred Lynn hit a grand slam and the American League rolled. And it was a shocker because they rolled. It was a shocker because no one had ever seen a grand slam in the All-Star game. And I don't think there's been one since. And so Fred Lynn was a big deal for Boston sports fans because he was a former Red Sox, obviously. And it was a big deal because the American League used to get torched. I think they had only two wins between 1962 and 1983. So they had only two wins out of like 21. And I just remember it being a July night, eating pizza, watching on a projection, and we went bananas when he hit a grand slam. I think he made a great catch, too, in that game. And Fred Lynn is obviously, even though he had a short stint here, an absolute Boston legend. So that's my All-Star memory.
Wow. My takeaway from that is you were watching it on projection in 1975 or whatever you said, right?
It was 83.
Oh, okay. Well, still, I mean, 83. I mean, that's still impressive on the projection. I mean, I think that everyone would have been in awe just having that.
It was grainy, but it was good.
So my All-Star memory would be 2008 All-Star game, which was at Yankee Stadium, and it was before they left Yankee Stadium to go into the new Yankee Stadium. I was working for NBC at the time, and we weren't going to cover it for some reason. I don't know. It was probably because of the stock market crash or something, and they were cutting back in 2008. But we came up with some BS reason to get passes, me and Dan Lee and a couple other guys, and we went down there. So you can get passes for whatever, right? So we go down and we're on the field and we're watching BP and we're watching everyone hanging out and doing their thing. And we're like, you know, just taking pictures and, you know, it's great. All the great players are there. You get to see them and they're all interacting and there's movie stars and all this other stuff. So, but my favorite part of it was we leave the field and I'm walking around the balls of the Yankee Stadium and I come around the corner and Kenny Chesney's standing there. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm a huge country music fan. And he's talking to, Peter Gammons. He was talking to Peter Gammons. And so I was kind of like, you know, it wasn't like even like a situation where I would like be standing there like waiting because there was just like a, kind of a lot going on. So we kind of were just like for like, it wasn't just more than 30 seconds. I was just kind of mingling off to the side. And he turned around. I was like, hey, Kenny, I'm a big fan. I'm like, I introduced myself and he shook my hand. I'm like, you mind if I get a picture? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Cool. He put his arm around me and we got a picture and I went on with my day. But, you know, that was 2008 and that's what, 17 years later. It's still, you know, great memory. And it's just, you know, it's one of those things where you just have that little moment and you meet someone that's an amazing superstar, even at the time, but huger now. So great memories. And, you know, that stadium doesn't exist anymore. That spot doesn't exist anymore.
I remember covering something down there. I think it was when the Florida Marlins beat the Yankees and Pavano was pitching for the Marlins.
Oh, you're going to tell your Pavano story
bad. I'm going to tell my Pavano story today, but I'm going to say I remember sitting in the dugout or walking down the hallway and I was like, Babe Ruth walks down this hallway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that, and the place was a disaster, just like Fenway. The place was a disaster. I mean, it was not nice at all.
Nothing like it was.
Point out, John and his buddies got credentials. And did you even do a story? Did you even cover it? Or were you just fanboying it the whole time?
No, we just hung out, man. I took some pictures. I got some great pictures on my regular, not even a camera phone at the time, Brian. I got like a regular pictures on a phone. So, you know, that whoever took the picture, I think it was Dan Lee, like it was a one shot deal. Like you got it or you didn't. You weren't able to just look at it. So
you didn't have your digital camera with you?
No, it was a straight different times, man. Different times. But man, what a great memory though. And like I said, that stadium doesn't exist anymore. Said, you go into these old stadiums and you know, I got still pictures, you know, like my we went on the Yankee Stadium tour with my father and my son when he was like, God, 6 months, a year old, maybe, if that. And my dad who's deceased since then, holding him out on the warning track.
Yeah.
And we have that picture hanging up. So great memories. So
yeah, there's something about, I mean, I am glad that I got the chance to cover a couple things in Yankee Stadium. Real quick, John Senecal, Brian Shackman, episode 203 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Just a little quick note on Clayton Kershaw 3000. I know this sort of debate with me, you, and our producer, Matt Sorois. Will somebody else do it? And my first instinct, you know, and somebody gave Chris Sale's numbers, and he could do it. And then all of a sudden, then he gets sent to the 60-day injured list. And he's not going to pitch till August. Not to say that he can't do it, but there's just, I kind of disagree because strikeouts are so prevalent in the game that I don't think you need to stick. I think it's a lot easier to get 3,000 strikeouts now if you can have some longevity than it was 25 years ago, because the way the game is played now, it's either hit a home run or strike out. So it's easier. There are more strikeouts in the game today than there were 20, 25 years ago. So I don't think it's something that is unattainable. But I mean, do you assume – my question to you really is, you can answer that, whether you think someone else will do it. But also, is Kershaw – is he a surefire Hall of Famer?
Well, yeah, definitely. Kershaw's a surefire Hall of Famer. I mean, the guy won the MVP and the Cy Young in the same year. I mean, it just doesn't happen other than what Roger Clemens did it once. Yeah, so, I mean, that alone, I think, gets him in. But his career numbers are insane. You can go on for days about his career numbers. But what it really comes down to is, like you said, Brian, longevity. If you want guys like Skeens and the younger generation players to do it, they're going to have to stay healthy. And so far, history says that doesn't happen. These guys will pitch 3 or 4 years, get a TJ, Tommy John surgery, and next thing you know, they're out for a year and a half, and they come back sometimes stronger, sometimes the same, and then their career is a little bit iffy. You know, like a Jacob deGrom, like if he would have stayed onto a healthy path, he could have been one that might have did it, even though he was a more late bloomer to start. But, you know, you mentioned Chris Sale. You know, I don't think he does it. If you go down the list of players, there's just not guys anywhere's close right now other than Chris Sale that could have done it. And like you just said, being hurt, it just won't happen. So, you know, what happened at Dodger Stadium on Wednesday night was history, obviously 3,000 Ks, but this is history that, you know, unfortunately, Brian, you and I might not see repeated in our lifetime, but maybe our kids might. But
really,
you know, a guy like Paul Skeens, you know, obviously could do it, but then, you know, he needs to be on a team where he's going to pitch 7 and 8 innings and rack up those 14 Ks, 11, 10, 14 Ks a game, because that's what you need. Need that and longevity. Kershaw's been hurt a lot. He's been hurt a lot, right? That goes to show you how dominant he was at the beginning of his career.
Just really quickly for S's and G's, your favorite pitchers ever, a couple. Just name off the top of your head. I just made a quick.
Oh, boy. You're coming at me hard. I mean, I loved Andy Pettit. I really did. I just something about him. He always seemed so steady. I really hated it when he left the Yankees and followed Clemens to Houston. Yeah. That drove me nuts. That really did. I'm a big fan now of like the young guy. Like I like Hunter Green. I like what he brings to the table on and off the field for Cincinnati. I'd like to see him stay healthy and see what he can do, because I feel like he would be a great role model and stuff going ahead for baseball. But you know, other than that, it's just in general, like, you know, I'm just a fan.
That is your guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Yankees in the last 20 or so years, you know, guys that I watched physically. I mean, Maddox was great to watch. He was really fun to watch. But mainstream in the last, you know, my generation, I would say, Pettit was a really fun guy.
I was a lefty. It's funny because the first person I followed a ton was Steve Carlton. I love Steve Carlton for some reason. I don't know why.
Called him lefty, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's because he was a lefty. And obviously Clemens, you know, his rookie year, I was 14 years old. So when he won 14 straight out of the gate. But I loved guys like Aaron Seeley. I like Tim Wakefield. You know, like I think of those guys who were solid. I mean, Wakefield's kind of a legend now. But like even Aaron Seeley had a great curveball. And I remember seeing him at Camden Yards in 1994. And so like maybe that's because it has a little bit of piece of my heart history, you know, because I saw Ben McDonald against Aaron Seeley in Camden Yards. And that was freaking cool. All right, listen, buddy, have a wonderful holiday weekend. We'll catch you on the other side, and maybe the Yankees will be in first. Maybe they'll be in third.
Foam the runway, New York. Foam the runway.
You've been listening to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.